Welcome. It's your girl, Queen Sunny Honey, and welcome to another edition of Freedom Friday. That's right. Welcome to the Caribbean Radio Show. We are the Knowledge Station. This is your girl, Queen Sunny Honey, and today I'm taking you all the way back, way, way back. I mean, like, half of my life ago. I'm taking you back to the days of the HBCUs. I'm taking you back to just what it's like to actually work in education and come full circle with your student from that young adulthood into his real manhood. Today, ladies and gentlemen, I want to present to you the very first student I ever hired at Benedict College and the man behind a serial entrepreneur since the age of 18, I tell you, Mr. Eric Richardson. Are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
Wonderful, man. It is so good to have you.
Yeah, we go back a long way.
Benedict College. Tell us about the first time you met the Miss Shannon, a.k.a. Queen Sunny Honey.
Let me see. It was fall of 2008. I just got hired back then to RHA for the second time. And shoot, I was in my super senior year. So I was probably, what, 21, 22 when you met me? No, 21. Yep, 21. So that was me trying to finish up the, what they say, the last lap around campus. Just when the internet was really, really taking over. I was just figuring out a lot of stuff.
Yes. Tell us, where are you originally from?
Born in Houston, Texas, raised in Pontiac, Michigan. But I spent half my life in Carolina, so I've been around a little bit.
And what did you, what made you go to Benedict College?
I could say I didn't choose. When I came home, my stuff was packed on the couch one day. My sister, my twin sister, she had got a full scholarship and some other opportunities. And I tested well on some state tests and the top percentiles and the top, like, 1-2 percentiles, but they didn't necessarily reflect my grades. So my mother had filled out the application and sent my test scores down. I hadn't taken the ACT or anything, the SATs, and they basically took the rankings from Michigan being like one of the top five states, if not at the time, number one in education, and then my scores on the standardized testing, and equated that and offered me a chance to come to the summer program called MATE, Minority Access to Teacher Education. And I was there under Naomi H. Dreer and Catherine Thomas, rest in peace. And I got there, went through some summer programs that prepared us for teacher education, and I kind of stuck with it. Like, I didn't plan on getting there. My mother had my stuff packed when I got home. My best friend was living with us. That's my brother, my twin sister. We all graduated, and like I said, it was kind of something that I chose to stick on to after kind of getting the opportunity, you know, presented to me. And looking at how some of the things were going at home, I chose to stick with it.
What did you major in?
Art education. Basically a double major because I was an art studio major as well. Took numerous courses. That's where I basically finished with a double major in art and education.
So, since the moment we met, you were always a mogul. Tell us about your first businesses and what it was like to be a young entrepreneur.
My first businesses, I was probably 9, like 4th grade. Myself, I had a friend named Mike and a friend named Dominique at the time, we were youth, and we used to hang out every day, and then one day I was you know, watching like Good Burger and stuff like that, going to the movies, and I'm like, man, we gotta make some money. And we all had lawnmowers at our houses, and my mom had a printer and computer she would bring home from the school district in the summertime to do work. And I remember the stuff from computer class, so I went in and made some flyers and printed them out. And this was like the ink ribbon with an Apple IIe. So it was like you could print all day. We was printing all type of stuff, just putting flyers out and telling people we cut grass. And should we just post up in the front yard with a bucket and some soap and tell people stop and get the car wash. And I started from there. I was selling candy out the back door. And that was, you know, I was into hustling something, fireworks, as I got a little bit older, customizing shoes and T-shirts and stuff through high school. Shout out to Dapper Dan. I found out, you know, listening and reading about Cool J and stuff. It was my favorite rapper. I read his book, and he had pictures in there in his autobiography where he was wearing Dapper Dan stuff, and I used to hear people talking about him, like when you get fly, always, you see with that Dapper Dan. I never knew what it meant, and then when I saw that, I put two and two together when I saw Jadakiss wearing some Gucci Air Force Ones in the Knock Yourself Out video. And I was like, man, this Gucci bags in my mama house. This is all type of stuff. And Louis bags. And I see these at the Salvation Army all the time. So I just started buying cheap bags and cutting them up and putting them on shoes and jeans and hats. And just before I learned how to sew, so I started just gluing them on like with real heavy glue, and cutting them real neat, because I built model cars and stuff. So I was very particular about craftsmanship even when I was young, before I went to art school. And just like I said, just ran with it, learning from pictures, eyeballing it, and that snowballed from, like I say, in high school, I'm getting into messing around with high custom fashion, not even realizing it, and making T-shirts and. I took that from there, and it snowballed into cutting hair. Also around the same time, watching my uncle's Uncle Oscar Rawls. He still got the barbershop on the south side of Pontiac, Michigan. He passed away some years ago, but the family business legacy remains. I used to watch him, and I knew that he was a landowner as well. So my initial plan out of high school, without talking to anybody, only talking to my uncle, was get my barber license and start buying homes, because at the time, the homes were so cheap in Pontiac, and I'm looking at these dudes older than me. I'm like, you're not smarter than me. You know, how many houses? I can figure this out. And I didn't execute that plan in 2004 succinctly, but I did maintain cutting the skills of cutting hair through like high school. So like from maybe like 99 to 2004, I was cutting pastors, my uncles, friends, everybody keeping stacking that cash, putting it in cans, and like I said, making T-shirts and clothes, and just kind of being vigilant and using my skills. You know, what could I sell? My grandmother, she taught me a lot about shopping and vintage clothing, and she was a seamstress and knowing quality clothes. So I was able to, you know, maximize my money and look like some of the dudes in the magazines at school, and not spending much money, and then figuring out people would pay much more than what I paid for something. It was like, but it's, you know, learning how to sell things for what they're worth and not just overcharge people. That was one of the things early on. You know, you get an knock and sell it for how much, and then you start to realize and learn about retail. So it was a big mix of things. Like I said, my grandmother taught me about the quality of fabrics. My uncle watched them cut hair and own houses. And early on, it was just like watching movies and seeing other kids be enterprise. And I'll start selling candy and washing cars and cutting grass, because this stuff is here and nobody uses it. Like, my mom wasn't using the lawnmower. My parents had split. So, shoot, gas was cheap.
By the time you got to Benedict College, tell us about those collegiate hustles. I saw you running in the dorm room.
Oh, man. I might have had your favorite rapper in my dorm room. I might have had a Grammy-nominated guy in the dorm room. Might have took them to Waffle House, took them shopping. And let me see. Okay, when you met me fall of 2008. So by that time, I was running. I was printing clothes and printing T-shirts out of my dorm room.
Parties. And then
I was doing parties. I had a rapper. I had my own artist coming. I had a studio in the room.
You did.
I had a print shop in the room, printing T-shirts while I'm cutting hair. Somebody recording and editing music over on us.
You did, and you should have been on my taxes that year.
Man, look, I took all that free energy and power that was given. You said I got to pay how much room and board? Well, we're gonna make this count. Shout out Chris Fuller and Jamar Glover, man. Jamar Glover, let me use his pre-sonus audio box, and I gotta say thank you to Dave Pearson. I feel like I'm forgetting one other person that gave me. They gave me an old Mac. It was just enough for us to even try to plug anything in there. About blew up.
Yeah, we had a lot of visits from the fire department, I do believe.
Well, them complaints wasn't about electrical fire.
Facts. But we'll save that one for another show.
That's another day. That's a whole another day. But, man, I was doing homecoming parties and private parties, listening parties, artists, everyone there rapping and recording, printing T-shirts, cutting hair, selling tickets out the dorm room, while I'm on the RHA clock with the dorm room, making sure people ain't sneaking girls in. I was running spring break trips. I was doing spring break trips between all those HBCUs and colleges in the Carolina and Georgia area. And that we get to that later on. We talk about decisions and things. But that was something that was way ahead of its time. And I didn't even have Instagram on my side. And I had people coming from like tri-state area to go with me. You saw everything. It was Man, I love to name drop some people, but I ain't like something like outside of friends, anybody that was doing anything, let them rest and do their thing.
The impact of having my students be a part of my life. Actually, I got overseas because of a student. You remember Zach?
Man. Funny, one of the funniest dudes alive, man. Good energies and prayers out to Zach, man. I hope everything going well with him. I know he's doing, he was doing the diesel mechanic thing. Had a lot of prosperous things coming his way.
Yeah. And he was evidence for me that, they always say there's 6 degrees of separation in this world to have a student and then you're in the Middle East and one day I'm in this cafe with some homegirls and some dude was like, "Hey, Miss Shannon, that's you."
That's Zach.
This don't happen. Like, this is 22 hours away from America. Like, who knows me? And he came up, and it was like, that was it. Next thing you know, had this another young lady from Benedict College come over, and just the connection of reconnecting and knowing that even throughout all of these years, after you graduated, you've always kept in contact. I remember when I was about to fly home last summer, you were like, "Okay, I'll have you ready when you get off the plane." I remember years ago going up to New Jersey and just missing your essence and bumping into, well, actually visiting your twin sister. So what I want to know, let's take this turn into this manhood, because we've come from this young mogul, this serial entrepreneur by age 21, people. And I do say, he just admitted to the public that he was working for me and working 5 other jobs at the same time. On the clock. On my time. What are you up to these days? Tell us about your brand.
Embracing some of the things that I had done and learning how to be humble and assertive, because humility was everything for me. And at times I wouldn't speak up about some of the opportunities and things that I've been involved in. And then sometimes I feel like I played myself too small for the room, or even too small for a decade. And it was, I'm accepting the fact, like, some people saw some things into me. Like, when you met me, I probably didn't talk about, I had just won Merrill Lynch 20 under 20. And in the midst of that, you know, flying around with millionaires and Boston Red Sox owners, and I mean business analysts at Harvard, and world-renowned lecturers and theologists. Like, it was some learning how to value those experiences and the things that we were discerned, or not discerned, but singled out for, or chosen for, and using those networks. That's kind of where I'm at now. Like, I went into teaching. And did some side things, and when I got out of school, bought my first car. I was selling vintage clothes. I was learning about the internet, and I was, you know, I had some connections moving like Reebok pumps and all types of different stuff. So I was just getting, I was selling and printing, just doing anything out the trunk of my car. I was setting up, rest in peace, my homie Gary Alameda, Cheese Hot Dogs, Charleston, South Carolina, man. He had a cart he used to set up on the on King Street. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. So right after graduation, there was a professor. I'm getting my name slipping at the moment. Dr. Alexander Wiles. He came in and he helped me finish up my senior year. And when he helped me actually transition out of graduation, so I was printing clothes and while I was in school and customizing stuff, and all I had was garbage bags full of stuff, and he dropped me off in South Carolina in Charleston to my sister Martia's house, and I was using those same samples I was selling on the weekends as a mattress, and it turned from there to getting a car, then setting up on the side of the King Street, and then start doing weekends, and when I get off work, be out next to him, just selling T-shirts, advertising myself as a photographer. Went from there to, by 2011, I wanted to have a physical store, but my family and connections were, politics don't play out like that. Everybody doesn't get that fairy tale story where you got a great idea, product and everything, and doing things on your own, and then you present it to somebody, and they're like, hey, I got a space, do it. There was some trial and error with some stores that I opened, some pop-ups that I did, some famous people that helped start some record companies. Wow. That y'all know very well, that they came around during those 20s and saw some ideas and bit them and ran off with them, and they failed. I was doing a lot of vintage stuff and pop-ups, and like I said, around those 20s when I was going from the street vending and stuff, when I get off from teaching and doing internet sales, I would I always wanted to do a truck thing. I was into the real world and road rules was kind of cool, because I'm looking at these trucks that they could take around fitted to basically do anything where you could, and I'm seeing like these crazy car shows in Pontiac, Michigan at the Woodward Dream Cruise, one of the biggest car show and dream cruise in the world. They're pulling up Snap-on and Chevy, pulling up with fully outfitted rigs and trucks where they got computers and screens and they can run them like whole work centers. So my mind is like looking at the fabrication on the inside of these trucks and things and reverse engineering stuff. And by 2011, I finally got the truck. I wanted the truck when I met you.
I remember those blueprints.
I wanted to go on the road, and I was like, man, look, I can get sponsorship for the biodiesel with the gas and everything, and had those roots, and go do all the festivals at that time. Rock Nation and Rock Nation wasn't even a thing. Live Nation was. I was doing case studies on them, and reading about them, and seeing the monies they were investing into the festivals, and the monies that could go into that. I was getting blessed into working at venues, and like I say, doing pop ups and starting to work concert venues, doing the AV work and the setup for professional. From doing parties, now I'm doing conferences and all that gaff and audiovisual 1-2, setting up events, and just started, looking at, okay, how can I fabricate this truck? What can I do with my skills? So eventually I started fabricating my first truck into like a mobile boutique. It was already fitted on the inside to record television, insulated walls, carpeted, breaker box, LED lights, outlets, all that type stuff. So basically going around out spotlights on the outside so I can pull up and do events. I can do photo shoots, music videos on the inside. I can run the truck. Even if I just had a retail person, I can have them doing that, and then I'll be able to maximize myself with my business expenses by having a truck that's not paying for rent and all those things, and lower my expenses and be able to afford an employee to have the truck maybe selling clothes, and then I can go to another venture where I was trying to figure out how to maximize myself in my 20s, trial and error thing. Let's say I had brick and mortar physical locations. It's just turning the corner and messing, a lot of trial and error, learn about big business expenses, having multiple food trucks and delivery trucks, and learn about bonding and insurance, and just, big business, big expenses. So I learned about those type things.
You got a lot of wisdom in those experiences.
Yeah.
So what's next?
The next thing. Moving off experience with some of the things that I knew would be fruitful. Learning how to scale things down, learning how to move vertically integrated even more so than I thought I had been. I mean, things that I was acknowledged for by Fortune 500 companies for implementing, I even had to see that they were looking at those with the rose-colored glass. They were romanticizing these great things that were utilizing so much, but the reality of it was I had to look at the resources and things that I could contain in-house without anybody else, and learn how to bulletproof plans, or being prepared. Pavlov's theory, anything can go wrong, will go wrong, and being able to implement the same thing just with better knowledge. We're one of my business partners. We had launched a food truck, a juice and smoothie truck and brand. We did that in Carolina from about 2016 to 18. And it was okay outside of other things we were doing. It didn't kill us on the money, but we had to look at, at the time, liquidating and getting the most out of it because the food truck market was getting hot. But how do we relaunch? What did we learn from the first time? Where did we spend too much overhead? Where did we not utilize our network with our launch? Things that we're doing now, figuring out the revenue streams, the production, we've been fortunate to get our production lines together to where we can offer higher quality and a lower price on certain things and still maintain a great business profit margin that allows us to, be able to be accessible. And at the same time, not only be accessible, but afford to be creative and do things in a limited run to where people don't feel like we're just putting out a bunch of something because at a certain price, I feel like it's everywhere, but still be able to operate in creativity and offer things in all levels that meet different markets. A major thing that we were dealing with was trying to be accessible. There was times I was doing things that I was doing more so behind the scenes sales because there was, like I say, that 6 degrees of separation. There's enough. I didn't maximize on the business because I was a I was more so playing behind the scenes. And then it was like, why am I middlemaning myself when I know I'm where they have to come through and they're purporting to be the source, acting like they out here doing what I'm doing. So it's knowing relaunching the, and like I said, not taking the middleman out through even things that I didn't realize I had placed that barrier up. I had placed the extra need of something or extra need to step in a business. Like I said, it's just experience, trying to, you know, make sure everything, not looking for anything perfect, but moving off experience so that, you know, incidentals and things of that nature and that things that make sense that just require a little more energy instead of just hoping, you know, hoping things catch traction. Like I said, with marketing and networking, it's a major thing for me right now. Spend a lot of my time just not rekindling friendships, but checking up on business friendships, relationships, and just making sure that, you know, people that I've worked with over the past are in good spaces so that we can move forward, because it's hard being an entrepreneur. It's tough working for yourself, and it's like sometimes we put ourselves in a place where we think we're the only ones going through business issues and personal issues together, mm-hmm. So I started to look up and see that some of my friends who were, you know, the same age and very, very creative and productive, we always look up to each other for just strictly updates on business, sending some pictures, updates, what's going on. And it was just looking at, you know, especially with this year with the pandemic and mental health coming in, a lot of people been having to amplify their triggers and their things that are going on. A major thing for me has just been like making sure that the people that I work with, even if it's not trying to fake friendships like relationships that we talk about, just making sure that people that I rely on have a decent place or a way of understanding of expression, like, because it's different for us as entrepreneurs. So I've been last couple of weeks, I've been talking all types of night people all across the nation, like friends I hadn't talked to necessarily majorly, but we're having 4 or 5 hours conversation because we're all in a place as entrepreneurs, realtors, like I say, branders. It's I just want to make sure everybody that I'm around is being able to fight through some of the things that I dealt with, because like I said, learning those, a lot of those, the wisdom that I'm moving with came with a lot of head bumps, a lot of things that require some ice.
Are you on Clubhouse?
Nah, I thought about it, but I ain't about to get caught up in
it. Yes, you are. I'm about to invite you right now. Join me on Clubhouse because we need to continue this discussion. And when I listen to you, you are definitely a brand coach, someone who has a decade of real high-end intellectual experience that it's going to help a lot of people coming in the door brand new as entrepreneurs. And then when you talk about this, you are that first aid for the entire world right now when it comes to entrepreneurs dealing with mental health. So, yeah, I want to thank you for coming on the show. And definitely everybody that's out there needs to know how we can find you on social media. Investors and entrepreneurs want to know how they can reach out and hit a brother in the DMs.
Okay. One last thing. I do art therapy for kids. I have some curriculum and opportunities to do some coaching with kids for art online. And I just did a class this summer in Detroit, and I have something coming up soon with some Department of Juvenile Justice in Michigan. So with that being said, anybody that's interested in trying to help kids with any art skills, if you got supplies, if you would like to put up, in monetary donations towards or even manpower or knowledge, digital curriculum, you can reach me at FIVE, then the digit 5, the number 5, THS 1987 at Gmail, or if on Instagram, it's just FIVE, the number 5, THS. You can reach me on Facebook, searching the same thing, FIVE, the number 5, THS, is 5/5, comes from the 3/5 compromise, and just the realization of who we are as a people and as a whole. That's the easiest way to get in contact with me. And the business number is 248-795-8514. 248-795-8514. That's accessible for business 24/7. Appreciate it. Oh, and the Cash App is the same thing. FIVE, the number 5THS.
Thank you so much. And to everybody out there, you know, I just want to send limitless blessings out to you and yours. Until next time, do bye bye, boo.